Hi, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday of Holy Week. I don't want to forget at the end, so I'm going to say to you now that this is our last liturgy of the word for this Holy Week, and we'll be back again on Monday on the octave of Easter. Now, tomorrow, Holy Thursday, we will be live streaming. Good Friday, we're live streaming. Easter Vigil, we're live streaming. And also Easter Sunday, all live streamed, all of that for us. So we'll be back then the next day after that on that Monday, whatever the date is for us for our next Liturgy of the Word. Awesome. Hope it's a beautiful, beautiful 3 days for you. But let's begin today. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Remarkable readings, Third Suffering Servant Song, remarkable gospel today. We're going to talk a little bit more about Judas here today as well. Let's begin. Let's ask God for mercy. Lord Jesus, you came to save us. Lord, have mercy. You came to save everyone. Christ, have mercy. You came to save nobodies. Lord, have mercy. And may Almighty God have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and bring us everlasting life. Amen. And let us pray. O God, who withered your Son, submit for our sake to the yoke of the cross, so that you might drive from us the power of the enemy. Grant us your servants to attain the grace of the resurrection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Now listen to that third suffering servant song.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ears that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let him come confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? The word of the Lord.
In your great love, answer me, in your great love, answer me.
For your sake I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brother, a stranger to my mother's sons, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme fall on me.
In your grace.
Insult has broken my heart, and I am weak. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For consolers, not one could I find. Rather, they put gall in my food, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink.
In your grace.
Answer me. I will praise the name of God in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurns not.
In your great love, answer me, in your great love, answer
be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you the feast of the Passover?" He said, "Go to the city to a certain man and tell him the teacher says, 'My appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you is going to betray me." Deeply saddened at this, they began to say to him one after the other, "Surely it's not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said to him, "Surely it's not I, Rabbi." And he answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, here we are. It's called Spy Wednesday. Today is sometimes because about Judas here. We find Judas fascinating and we find him frightening. Fascinating because we don't understand. Frightening because, as I have heard over and over again the last few days, there's a part of Judas in every single one of us. And that should scare us all. Here's what we know about Judas. Except the 30 pieces of silver for his deed, even though Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him, he still included him in the Last Supper. We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. We know Judas identified Jesus with a kiss. You know, Judas repented and gave back the 30 pieces of silver. We know he hung himself. We talked the other day about this idea of mercy, him not accepting this incredible mercy of God. Here's what we don't know. We don't know why he did it. We don't know for sure if there's any hope for Judas. Here's the big question. Is there any hope for those hopeless of the world? That's the question I want you to ponder here today. And it's a question we need to ponder all throughout the Holy 3 days here together. Now, I want to read something to you from Matthew's gospel that is not part of our gospel here today, because I think it's really, really significant for us to ponder that question. Is there any hope for the hopeless of our world? This is Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 to 10. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in betraying innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? Look to it yourself. Wow, compassion, huh? Flinging the money into the temple, he departs and went off and hangs himself. The chief priests gathered up the money and said, it is not lawful to deposit this in the temple treasury, for it is the price of blood. After consultation, they used it to buy Potter's Field as a burial place for foreigners. It was why the field, even today, is called the Field of Blood. Then was fulfilled what was said through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the Potter's Field, just as the Lord had commanded me. So there's two things I want to say about all this. First of all, Judas gave back the 30 pieces of silver, and then he was buried in Potter's Field. Now, Potter's Field is significant here, I think, because it's pretty much a useless piece of ground. It's clay, can't grow anything on it. It's a place where they buried Gentiles, the indigenous, the unclaimed, the nobodies of the world were buried in Potter's Field. Now, I think that's kind of an interesting thing for us. That's where Judas is buried, among the hated Gentiles, the poor, the needy, the unwanted, the unclaimed, the nobodies. Is that the price, precisely the people Jesus went to go see and seek out over and over again? Could that be why Jesus was crucified? Not that he died, folks. Now listen, it's how Jesus died that matters. He died as a nobody. He died as a piece of garbage. He died as an insect. He died as a slave. Could that be why Jesus died like that? Because he really came ultimately for all of us, including the nobodies, the poor, the Gentiles, the needy, the unwanted, the unclaimed. Judas himself. He came for people like Judas himself. Is that what the crucifixion's all about? He came for every single one of us. And he had to experience that nobodiness of people like Judas and the poor and the unclaimed, the Gentiles. Is Matthew telling us that Judas was precisely the one who Jesus came to redeem? Where does justice and mercy meet? That's beyond our scope here today. But what a really, really important question. God is a God of justice. God is a God of mercy. All of it together for us. Still, here we are, fascinated and frightened, not just by Judas, but also by this God who does the ungodly and gets crucified. Who does the godless and gets crucified? What is God really like that he would do such things for us? Now let's begin our journey to the Holy 3 Days. At the beginning of the beginning, our liturgy of the word we're over with for this week. The rest of it is the Holy 3 Days, which we'll be pondering the greatest event in all of human history, the passion, death, resurrection of Jesus. Discover the Jesus who came to redeem us all. Who is this Jesus? Who is this God of ours? And by the way, I want to say a last thing. Don't ever, ever, ever pit the Father against the Son and the Spirit. They were all in this together. This is all the mind of Christ, all the mind of God, I guess I should say, put it that way, that this is the way in which you and I are going to be redeemed. God bless you, folks. I hope it's a wonderful, wonderful 3 days for all of us. I hope to see many of you often. Here's my question for today. Who is the God who came for nobodies? God bless you, folks, and thank you very much for joining me again today. Happy Holy 3 Days.